Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
America's Test Kitchen on PBS is one of the most popular cooking shows on television today. Host and founder Christopher Kimball is now bringing a live behind-the-scenes experience of the world of America's Test Kitchen to fans around the country. He'll be at the Palace Theater in Albany, New York on Sunday, April 13th at 3 o'clock. Kimball is on a never-ending quest to answer the question, what is good cooking all about? As the host of America's Test Kitchen for the past 14 seasons, as well as editor of the popular Cooks Illustrated magazine, Kimball will share his strong and entertaining opinions on culinary trends and cooking equipment, as well as take questions from the audience. It's a great pleasure to welcome Christopher Kimball to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So how did you get into this particular situation of bringing this on the road?
You mean how did I get into this mess?
That's another way of putting it, I guess. Sure.
For years I've been on the road occasionally to do book signings and support local bookstores, that sort of thing. And, at first I didn't like doing them because you had to get on planes and other things. But then I really started enjoying them about 10 years ago. I enjoyed meeting the people and having the questions and the back and forth. And so Lydia, who has a show on public television, Bastianich, had done a few live shows, and so I spoke to her about a year ago, and so I figured out you could actually go do this, and so we rented a theater in Cambridge last fall and did one, and then I did one in Portland, Oregon, a couple of weeks later in November. I just had a great time, it's fun being on stage, it's fun interacting with an audience, and it's very different than doing a TV show or a radio show where you're essentially talking to yourself or a camera or microphone.
Right.
So it's fun. I really like it.
So what do you try to accomplish in that time that you're on stage with the audience?
Well, that's a good question. I think to be successful at this, you need to understand something about the audience. The audience wants very much to be part of the event, and you need to bring them in and talk about them. They're not as interested in just hearing about me. What they really want to do is share their misery sometimes and their successes in terms of home cooking. So we have a lot of research about how people really cook at home because that's our business to do that. And so the best part usually of the evening or the afternoon is to share that. And so this is, it's sort of like a good comedian, like Seinfeld, he's always talking about real things, the silly things people do. It's sort of silly things people do in the kitchen and our experiences. And it's that common ground between myself as a home cook and the audience, I think, is really the energy in the room at the time.
That's what you consider yourself. You consider yourself to be a home cook and in many ways on the same plane as many members of the audience. So people who are just, trying to get by.
I am too. I mean, I cook almost every night. I don't have a big kitchen. I used to have a lot of equipment and stuff. I got rid of most of it. I'm learning stuff all the time. I cook, a lot of the stuff we do here out of my own books, but I cook a lot of new stuff from other people's cookbooks. I make mistakes, It never always turns out perfectly. I think people... I think one of the things that's interesting is people feel, and more so in this country than other countries, that they need to improvise at home, The following a recipe is sort of, you should be up there like Jerry Garcia or somebody playing guitar and improvising and playing jazz. You don't want to just follow the music. And I think that gets people in trouble a lot. I'm a big fan of following the recipe. There's no shame in following a good recipe and doing it well. If you want to improvise, fine. But I think that's where people substitute ingredients. My favorite example is the gentleman who we send recipes out for people to test and they comment on them. And he said it was a horrible recipe for chicken breast, blah, blah, blah. And then he finally admitted that he substituted shrimp for chicken, And so you go, really? I mean, you put shrimp instead of chicken, really? I mean, so, you know, everyone does silly things at home. I do it too. So the thing I always hated back in the 70s when I was taking cooking classes was when the teacher talked down to me, you know. I really resented that, and it wasn't helpful. And so I think what we've always tried to do on anything we do is bring the viewer in, the reader, the listener, have them stand by your side. We're both at the same level. We're talking to each other, having conversation, but we're not talking down to you.
I think you make such an interesting point about the way we go about it, and that idea of riffing, if you will. But you can tell a lot about the personality. I know my wife and I cook together. I'm very much by the numbers. I follow the recipe to the letter. My wife likes to improvise more. But I think that's more of just sort of an extension of our personalities.
Well, what I think people don't realize is, or, you know, they would if they thought about it, and that is, you know, a generation or two ago, people had a very limited repertoire. I mean, if you think about Italian cooking, okay, every region has its 50 recipes or its 30 recipes. So people made that recipe over and over and over again. The Genovese sauce with the onions and the meat. Well, they made it 150 times. So they weren't out there cooking hundreds of different recipes. They weren't cooking Moroccan food one night and then cooking Brazilian food the next. If you have a limited repertoire, and throughout history, everyone did, with local ingredients, and you cooked the recipes all the time, you didn't need a recipe. I mean, you didn't need a recipe to make chicken soup, you know? It's pretty clear. But the problem now is that we cook from around the world. We use lots of different kinds of ingredients, a lot of ethnic dishes. So you can't wake up on Wednesday to do a Thai curry and then on doing New England boiled dinner on Saturday and be able to really improvise in all those different languages. It's hard to do. So the people who do improvise well stick to, I don't know if your wife does this, but stick to a repertoire, get really good at it. And then you can step away from it. Sure, and you know, I love Moroccan cooking. I love tagine, you know. So, okay, give me a chicken and some onions and some spices, and I'll make up a tagine. Sometimes it's really good, and sometimes my spice choices leave something to be desired. But at least I know the basics, you know. I get the concept of the balance you're trying to achieve. But if it's the first time you've made a Moroccan dish, you know, you better follow the recipe because someone's actually tried all the stupid things you're apt to do, you know, before.
I find the title, I mean, not to read too much into it, but just America's Test Kitchen. I mean, that's really what you're ultimately about. It's all about the test, isn't it? You're testing things.
Well, sure. You know, look, the reality is that people most of the time don't have a lot of success cooking at home. I don't mean that the recipes are an abject failure, they have to throw them out. But they don't achieve the level of quality that they set out to or what the magazine or cooking show promised, you know. And so there's always a level of disappointment. And so the question is why, what happened? And so the test part of it is, okay, let's find out why bad things happen to good recipes, you know, what's going on. And so if you test, you can say, well, you know, we'll do cake flour versus all-purpose. We'll do butter versus oil. We'll do this versus that, high temperature versus moderate temperature, nonstick skillet, regular skillet. And then you start to understand why recipes do well and why they don't. And that testing process, then you get to some bedrock. You know, if you're going to make an apple pie, okay, well, here's some apples you shouldn't use, you know, or here's the way to do a better way to do a crust. Or, you know, there are truths in cooking. It's not, it's just like music, you know, there are scales, you know, there are different keys, there are things you can and can't do. Within that, you can have a lot of personality, certainly. But the most, you know, out there, jazz, you know, trombone player, sax player, guitarist, they all knew the rules. I mean, they all got it. It's like great painters, you know, could draw like Picasso, could do a realistic drawing. It's not that he couldn't do it, it's just he then went on from that. So, yeah, you test to find out what's true and what's not.
It seems difficult to believe that 15, 25 years ago that a person like yourself could go into a theater, fill it, by talking about food and doing what you'll be doing. It does seem to show us where we are as a culture when it comes to food.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I was incredulous myself, actually, you could get, you know, 1,000 people to show up. But I felt better because the company that helps book these things, and they're wonderful people, and they were telling me about the fisherman, you know, the cable show, The Most Dangerous Catch, I think it's called.
Yeah, right.
And he said that, which is very successful, is a roadshow. I said, well, what do they do in a roadshow? And he said the two guys show up and drink a quart of vodka, you know, and tell
them.
Oh,
there you go.
There you go. And so and so it's not about the fishing. It's not about the food so much. It's just about you're sharing something. And this is a shared experience. I think the success of cable television, I think, is what has now made these roadshows and food television, made them possible. Ina Garten goes out and does shows, and she sits there and she's interviewed, you know, for an hour and a half. And so it's another way of sharing with people that goes beyond just watching a show or reading a book or whatever.
Were you, when you started with Cook's Illustrated magazine and the editor of that, was television on your mind at all at the very beginning?
No. No, least likely to succeed on television, I think, would be the no, not at all. I finally, because I was in Boston starting in early 90s, I got to know Julia Child a little bit, like a lot of people did here, and went over and watched her show being filmed a few times, met her director or producer, and felt that we had a process, you know, we had a different way of doing it. And so it's a long story, but over a period of 2 or 3 years, I pestered him constantly. He ignored me because he had 500 people a week, you know, saying, hey, I could do a show. Eventually, we did a pilot with a former producer with Walter Cronkite, and we showed it to him. He said, yeah, well, okay, you know, maybe this will work. So we did 13 episodes the first season, and, you know, he was just, I think my director said something like, look, you're not an actor. If you think you're an actor, stop thinking that. You know, you and the other people are going to stand up in front of a camera, and people will like it or they won't. There's nothing we can do. I mean, it is what it is. And it took time. I mean, public television is great because in public radio, you have time to find an audience, and sometimes it takes years, and it took years. But we got better and better at it. But I don't think it's – here's what I really believe. I think consumers are really smart. And I think they know the authentic from the inauthentic, you know. I think Rachel Ray is Rachel Ray. I think that's who she really is. It's totally different than who I am, but she is who she is. She's not putting on an act. And we are who we are, you know. I'm a little grumpier, you know, maybe. But it is, I mean, these people all have worked here for 20 years. This is what they do during the day. Jack, you know, Julia, Bridget, Adam, all these people. Lisa, they all work here, you know, and so it is really our test kitchen. And I think that's what people like. I think they like the fact it's for real. And so much of television isn't for real anymore. So it's not that we're brilliant entertainers. It's just that this is really a show about real people doing a real thing. It's like The Most Dangerous Catch, you know. These guys really do go out there and fish in Alaska.
And it does make you think about what Julia Child was doing. It was the first person to do that on television and to command such an audience.
Yeah, she wasn't the first person to do it, but you're right. She was definitely the first person to command that audience. I mean, James Beard
tried it.
A lot of
yes,
people
yeah.
did. Yeah. Well, she connects through the camera. I mean, when you do television, what people tell you is the skill set is, can you talk to someone through a camera and make a connection? And Julia, much more so than myself or anybody else today probably, had an ability to grab you through that camera lens and that television set. And she was real, and she was there. She was very present. You know, Julia, in person or on television, was always there. She was never somewhere else. She never was thinking about the bad day she had yesterday or some problem, you know, with something else or cookbook. She was in the moment, and that's what comes through on the show, is she's absolutely there, and that's what brings the audience in. She's there for you. You know, she's right there.
Christopher Kimball will bring America's Test Kitchen live to the Palace Theater in Albany, New York on Sunday, the 13th of April at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock on Sunday, the 13th. and it's America's Tests Kitchen Live. You can find out more by going to palacealbany.com. Palacealbany.com. Christopher Kimball, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, America's Test Kitchen Live with Christopher Kimball, Sunday, April 13th at 3 o'clock. More information at palacealbany.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.